see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without. A man without a face. 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 A man without a face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with David James. Well, 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 welcome, everybody. Here we are with another week. Gone by, I mean, time is flying. We're already in November at this point. It seems like the year just started, and boom, here we are at the end of the year again. And the Jews are still trying to start wars. It's a time of blessings, and I'm not talking about Christmas time or anything like that. I think Thanksgiving is one of the holidays of America that's one of the only real holidays. The rest of it's all hoopla and paganism holidays, you know, guised in Christianity. So I like Thanksgiving, and I consider that Thanksgiving is an everyday thing for me and many of the brethren, and you know that's true. But Thanksgiving is a special time with turkey, and it's a family holiday, and it's not about materialism, unless you're worried about what part of the turkey you're going to partake of. But anyway, a lot of interesting things happening. A dear brother is over again, surprisingly, that a lot faster than I ever thought. The father had him come back, and we're finishing some more things. And so, just so you'll know, when I bought this house, after I sold my house in Boston, this was an unfinished house. So, I mean, there's still things that have to be done, but much of it has been taken care of, and, you know, a little cherry on the top and this and that. It's the father's taking care of everything. Don't ever let anyone tell you that the father doesn't take care of even the smallest of details, because he does. It's very, very interesting to me, you know, that he has time to take care of the small things in our lives as well as the big things. I mean, remember, he's got a lot of people to take care of. You know, so imagine if he has if he has time to take care of the little things in your life. How wonderful is that? It really is. And this is all the reason why every day should be Thanksgiving to the Father in your household and in your life and everything else. I've always encouraged you to thank him and to continually thank him in the good times and the bad. It's important, and it shows him that you appreciate what he does for you. That's an important thing, you know, as far as I'm concerned. So Miss Elke's having a good time. She's always on the hunt as usual. And boy, you know, as I was traveling, when I told you I was traveling back and forth to Kingdom Identity Ministries, the colors that the Father has along the roads and this and that with certain trees and bushes are amazing. Remember, I come from an area of the country where everybody, it's known for its foliage. You know, up in New Hampshire, which was just 5 minutes away from me, people go there just to see the foliage of the trees drive up and down the highways. But the difference is, it seems that there's some other kinds of trees and bushes here. I even have one in my yard that have special, special bright colors or very striking colors. It's very interesting. And I like to take pictures of these things. I had made a stop to take some pictures of some colors that I just thought were, these are colors you don't see every day. You know what I mean? It's not like it's just red or orange or brown or, you know, these are very unique colors. That's all I can say. I really enjoy that. And so just thought I'd let you know. So I've been busy. I want you to know I've been busy. And if I haven't got back to you on an email or this or that, it's because I'm busy. I'll try to get back to you as soon as I possibly can. Thank you for your patience in this matter, doctors and nurses. Okay, I suppose we should get to the subject matter. As you know, we're continuing this series from Maurice Pinet's The Plot Against the Church. And when he says the church, he means the Catholic Church. But it's really the plot against Christianity. And of course, in this particular book, we know that they don't know who they think the Jews are, God's chosen people. Of course, Babylon would think that, right? So they're the same as the Judeo-Christian Jewish version of Christianity. It's really the Babylonian version of Christianity, the Talmud. But anyway, we're in chapter 9, and we read last week a paragraph. I'm just going to recap a little bit so you know what we're talking about. The title of the chapter is Morality of Struggle and Not Deadly Defeatism. I know that doesn't sound that interesting to you, but it says, one of the most godless intrigues which has yielded the Jews a magnificent result in their struggle against Christianity has been the utilization of the idea of Christian morality and the love of one's neighbor. Remember I told you that, you know, they use this as a weapon against us, like, you have to love all races. I mean, I'm not saying we hate these races, but you have to love them. They're all your brothers, but they're not our brothers. You have to love the Jew, but they're not our brothers. And they'll tell you, remember I defined to you that one of the most deceiving things in the scriptures is that you must forgive everybody 400 times, you know, times 90, right? So 490 times, whatever it is, 70 times 7 is what it really is. Okay, so 490 times. You must, in other words, you forgive them perpetually, actually, right? If you had to count to 490, remember when Eli accused me and he said we had to forgive him 470 times. He doesn't even know it's 490. He's out to lunch anyway. But, you know, he said we had to forgive him 400. Now, let me ask you a question. You're on that, you know, subject. If you had to forgive somebody 470 times or 490 times, what kind of a fellow or woman would you think that would be? Do you think that would be a nice person or, you know, basically, you're talking about if you have to forgive them 490 times, they're pretty much, you know, out to lunch, let's say, right? You know that what he's claiming, what kind of a fellow I would be if you had to forgive me. He said 470 times because he can't do math properly. But anyway, that's what I was, it was laughable and everybody laughed at that. It's because it's such a ridiculous lie. You know, I don't know why people lie. Like, some of the times you could say, well, you know, I understand why Abraham lied, because if they thought that Sarah was his wife, they would have killed him and taken his wife. So you could understand why that might happen. But people in this time and age lie about the stupidest things you could imagine. You know, and they actually believe that people believe, you know, when he said he was 5'9", don't you think that everybody knows out there how tall he is that's met him? I mean, they know he's not 5'9". So when you lie about stupid stuff like this, doesn't he understand that people know? I mean, I was picturing, I was just this humorous idea that when he's at one of these things now, after they found out, well, he said he's 5'9". I can picture somebody coming up behind him with a tape measure, and you hear the tape measure go out, and they say, nope, he's not 5'9". You know, and I just get a kick out of this. I really do. This lying for whatever, what is the reason? But anyway, so back to this book we're in. The Jews use this as a plying tool, you know, or a prying tool, however you wish to say it. They use it as a tool against us, our mercy. And it's really, let's start right here, okay? For a better understanding of this matter, one can resort to comparisons which, if a little crude, are nevertheless very clear. Let us assume that at a boxing match, a boxer is forced at the decisive moments. Remember this from last week? Of the match, to fight with one hand bound? You know, and it says, well, you know, you can see what the outcome would be. It wouldn't be surprising what the outcome would be. And what he's saying here is that's how Christians are being done. He says, well, now, this is exactly what upon different occasions treacherous Jewry has been successful in achieving with the poor Christians, in that Christian charity and Christian morality were distorted and afterwards used to bind the Christians hand by hand and feet in order in this manner to attain their defeat. Same as this boxer, you understand? For instance, have you ever really seen a good portrayal of a white Christian man or woman in Hollywood's productions or television? I don't think you can really think of a good portrayal, can you? It's always somebody that's mentally ill, or they're, you know, like monks whipping themselves, or, you know, they're, you know, you know what I mean? Every time you see this in Hollywood, you see that these Christians are distorted, right? Their morality is distorted. Their charity is distorted. And all this crap about loving one's neighbor. Now, I understand what I was saying to you was that it's not crap about loving your neighbor, but this, the way the Jews use it, it's crap. You know what I mean? Telling us that we have to take in all these immigrants, and we have to treat them right, and we don't have to do anything. But the idea is, like, forgiving people 490 times, right? So, you know, like I said, if a Negro rapes your daughter, the Jew would tell you, oh, you have to forgive him 470. No, that's not the one you're supposed to forgive. It's the people of your own tribe or your own family. You're supposed to forgive them many, many times. You know, when he said 70 times 70, it means lots of times. But he's not telling you to forgive people like Jews or people from other tribes. I mean, not our tribes, but like the black tribes. We don't have to forgive them when they do us harm. That's not who he's talking about. So it's a distortion of the whole thing. So here's where we left off and where we're really starting from this week in the book. Every time, therefore, when Christians react with an attempt to defend themselves against the synagogue of Satan and to protect the church or their country or to preserve the natural rights that they possess as persons, as family, fathers, etc., the Jews and their aides, whenever the former are on the point of gaining the victory, of overthrowing and punishing them, always appeal to Christian neighborly love. They attempt to touch the believers' hearts with this appeal, so that they may give up the struggle or refrain from pushing to its conclusion the victory that they are on the point of winning. Pay attention, because this is important. They also resort to such cunning in order to prevent appropriate punishment being laid upon them as criminals or as being responsible for a repelled attack. All this for the purpose of reestablishing, under protection of this armistice or of forgiveness, which they receive by reason of a misuse of Christian neighborly love, the necessary power to begin anew the overwhelming, merciless, destructive, or irremediable aggression after those whose victory one will be able to expect neither moral acts nor Jewish charity. Now, I remember we read that, but that's important. I guess I marked it in the wrong place here, but it's okay. In order to carry through their intentions of laying the Christians in chains and preventing them from defending themselves, these Jews and their agents use wordplay. You know this is true, right? And hair-splitting terminology. For example, they say, if God pardons every sinner who repents of his sins before his death, why do you Christians not imitate your God and Lord, he says. They thus proceed from a true premise from the Christian teaching of the forgiveness of sin and then attempt to use it in a hair-splitting form to draw false conclusions from it, which, of course, is what a Jew would do. In this manner, they conclude, for example, with reference to the said promise, that Christians are obliged or obligated to allow Jewish criminals who murder a king, the president of the republic, or any Christians to go unpunished. It is also logically concluded from this that Catholics are obligated to allow freedom to spies who have supplied a foreign power with secrets vital to the life of the nation, so that they are able to continue their traitorous activity and render easier the defeat of the country. Likewise, this is important. Are you understanding what he's saying here? Because I've just watched there's Jews that have done over 1,000 acts, you know, had 1,000 pictures of child pornography. There's one Jew that recently got off and he's not going to be prosecuted at all. And you've heard of it over and over and over, how these Jews go free. Yeah, Epstein didn't go free, but that's because he had a lot of information that could be harmful to a lot of people. While I don't believe he's dead, they put him away in the sense of, you know, put him out of the limelight because they don't want that information coming out. However, some of these people just walk away free, doing real damaging things to the country. You know, there's been people, Pollard went to jail, but there's been many people like Dov Zakheim who stole $2.3 trillion and I believe took it to Israel. Same as Madoff did. He made off with the money. So Dov Zakheim, if you remember, the day before 9/11, it was announced that $2.3 trillion went missing from the Pentagon. So nothing happened to him. The next time I saw him, he was on Obama's re-election campaign in 2008 as one of his advisors. So he's back in the country. He was the comptroller of the Pentagon. A Jew is the comptroller of the Pentagon. Hello? So you see that what he's saying here is very true. See, the Jews in their Talmud say that even if they kill a non-Jew, they're not guilty of it. They're not guilty of anything. If a non-Jew kills them, they are guilty. But if they kill a non-Jew or steal his goods or whatever it is, that it's okay, that it's because they're, we are their cattle, as they say, right? So this is what he's talking about here in this book. So let's continue. Likewise, the conclusion is reached that the Christians are obligated to allow to go unpunished, indeed, even to allow to walk in freedom, the conspirators who instigate a bloody revolution and carry it out, so that they, free and unpunished, can carry out further conspiracies until they have set up the Jewish communist dictatorship in the land, which, ladies and gentlemen, let me interject, is called democracy. The Jewish communist dictatorship in the land is called democracy. Okay, and it continues. With their whole bloody apparatus of repression and tyranny, with hair-splitting wordplay like this, they surprise the good faith of many who fall easy victim to deceit and give to the Jewish conspirators or their helpers the possibility of victory of their devilish intentions. Nevertheless, it is perfectly clear that if the church accepts the forgiveness of sins, this does not imply a recognition that criminals and malefactors or conspirators should escape human justice or even the divine justice. You have noticed that, right? You have noticed that Jews have been walking free, right? Look at Hillary Clinton. All that she's done, you know, she should be hanging right now. She should be dead or put to death by lethal injection. After the trial, of course. But you see how she's walking free. You see how Bill Clinton's walking free. You see how George Soros is walking free. And yet, if he steps foot in certain countries, they will arrest him immediately. So he is walking free, and he is doing damage to our country. In many countries around the world, he has overthrown governments. So you see how these Jews are walking free, and they're conspirators, they're criminals, they're causing lots of problems. So it continues here now. Some writers who describe themselves as Christians, but who prove through their activity that they are in the service of the synagogue of Satan, use such clumsy sophisms as those which we give in the following. Listen carefully. The Jew-friendly Italian Ernesto Rossi makes a summons to Christians in a chapter of his book, which is written for the defense of the Jews, and attempts to support his defeatist thesis with the words of the evangelist Saint Matthew. But let me stop here and comment again. What do we know about the name Rossi? It means red. Is it any wonder that the Jew-friendly Italian Ernesto Rossi makes, you understand, defends these Jews? So how does he do it? Here's the quote. Then Peter neared and said to him, "How many times must I forgive my brother?" Here we are, right? "My brother who has sinned against me, up to seven times?" And Jesus answered him, "I say unto you, not seven times, but up to 70 times seven." I was just speaking about this, right? But he didn't say, "Well, who is my brother?" Right? The Jew takes that. This is me commenting about this. The Jew takes that and said, "Well, the Negro's your brother. The Indian with the dot on his head is your brother. The people that are killing you wholesale and the Jew are your brothers." No, 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 no. So it's too bad that Peter didn't say, "Well, who is my brother?" You know, or Jesus could have said to him, "Well, who is your brother?" You know, but you see, this is something that's been taken advantage of, and this is what's going on in this chapter. You see, you've been tricked if you think that. Remember that Freemasonry touts equality, liberty, and fraternity, brotherhood. So what they mean is, remember I said the Negroes in the 70s, hey, brother, right? In other words, you must forgive your brother, right? No, 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 they're not your brother. So it continues. And Julian Green, who is quoted by Carlo Bo, says in the article to which we have referred, listen, one can strike no Jew without at the same time touching him who is in the truest sense of the word a man par excellence in the flower of Israel. Jesus Christ, dry the tears and the blood of your Jewish brother and the face of Christ will shine. Now that's not even biblical, all right? Did you hear that? So this guy's saying, you know, you can't strike a Jew because, you know, this is somebody that's par excellence and they're a flower of Israel. And he's putting words in Jesus' mouth saying, dry the tears and the blood of your Jewish brother and the face of Christ will shine. Really? Can you believe what you're hearing? Seriously. So it continues. A great cynicism is needed to make the attempt to equate Christ with those who nailed him to the cross and continued to oppose him up to our days. Frequently, the Jews and their accomplices possess the shamelessness to use this cunning utilization of Christian morality and neighborly love in order to prevent believers in Christ from defending themselves or their peoples and institutions from the conspiracies and attacks which emanate from the synagogue of Satan. For this purpose, they always use Catholic or Protestant clergy who describe themselves as good Christians, but who work together with Freemasonry, communism, or any other Jewish enterprise. These kinds of, now the Catholic Church works with Freemasonry for sure, and so do the Baptists and many of the so-called denominations. And Freemasonry certainly is communistic, just like the Catholic Church is communistic. These kinds of clergy even go as far as to remind Christians of the Sermon on the Mount and other sermons of Jesus Christ about the forgiveness of sins or love of one's enemies in order to touch believers and even to spiritually exercise a pressure, like a peer pressure type thing, by means of similar cunning for the purpose of weakening or even crippling the struggle, which the latter have undertaken against the powers of evil. The activity of these clergy has frequently to great part been responsible for Freemasonic or communist triumphs, like Billy Graham. Remember, he has no problem with communists, and he is a 33rd degree Freemason and a Jew. Or I think he died, so I guess he was. I think he died. So it continues. We can without doubt give the assurance that these godless intrigues largely allow the synagogue of Satan, at least hitherto, to alter the course of history in disastrous form for the forces of good and in favorable manner for the hosts of evil. The church was able for 1,000 years long, up to the end of the 15th century, to overthrow the synagogue of Satan in all conflicts which it had to withstand year for year against the same. Christianity was then at the point of carrying off the final victory, which would have preserved Christianity from the Protestant schism. No. See, I'm going to have to stop and comment because the Catholic Church is not a true form of Christianity any more than Judeo-Christianity is a true form. It's the Jewish version of Christianity. And you could say that the Catholic Church is the pagan form of Christianity, if you would like to say it like that. In other words, it's an hybrid priesthood, as I've told you all along. It's an abomination. So he's trying to say that, listen, Christianity was then on the point of carrying off the final victory. He's saying the Catholic Church, Christianity, the pagan, which would have preserved Christianity, pagan Christianity, from the Protestant schism, from the bloody religious wars, from the Freemasonic upheavals in which streams of blood were shed, and from the even bloodier and more threatening communist revolutions. The Court of Inquisition, so slandered by the Jewish propaganda, which was founded for the purpose of the fighting and conquering Jewry. But ladies and gentlemen, what you know is that Jesuits are Jews. The Inquisition, I really do believe, and it even shows in the pictures that they show of the Inquisition, hook-nosed Jews carrying it out. So, you know, this is a Catholic book, and you have to understand that there's just some things that are trying to be put in your brain, but I can, you know, once you know what the real is, you can see what the fake or the imitation is. Catholic is not the real. The Jewish version of Christianity is not the real. So, sorry that we have to put up with this nonsense here and there in this book, but there's been a lot of truth spoken here as well. So, continuing. Jewry, it says, the Court of the Inquisition, so slandered by Jewish propaganda, which was for the purpose of fighting and conquering Jewry, as well as the underground movements which it used to form of in the form of false teachings, in order to divide Christianity and make it disunited, would have been able, with the means at its disposal, to attain a final victory for the Holy Church. That means the Catholic Church, you see. Not Christianity. If the treacherous Jews had not been successful in preventing this by using deceit and malice, which we will investigate, particularly in the decisive moments of that struggle, and by employing sophisms about Christian charity, which the Jews never practice, in order to move the Christian, ecclesiastical, and civical leading personages through sympathy. You see, they're using our mercy as a weapon against us. You understand? Like, you know, I'm commenting on what's happening here. So when a Jew shows up at the doorstep of your border of your country, and they've just viciously torn apart a country that they were kicked out of and done all kinds of damage to them, they begin to cry tears because they're good actors and they're chameleons. And they know how to tug on the heartstrings of the Anglo-Saxon Christians because we have mercy, because it's an attribute of our Father. And so they know how to use this against us as a weapon. So they begin to cry tears, and soon they're let in to be citizens of our land. And soon they're doing the same evils they were doing to our brothers in the other land. And soon we're seeing anti-Jewishism. You get it? All right, let's continue here. Instead of being thankful, Jewry used this forgiveness only in order to strengthen anew its forces in secret, in order afterwards to take up the struggle with new false doctrines again and again. That's Mr. Graham for sure. Finally, at the beginnings of the 16th century, the international Jews, you see, because they're not allowed to have a country of their own. Not even this, they're pretending that Israel is a startup nation, but it's not their country, it's not a country, it is stolen land that is occupied by these international Jews to help bring about Jewish world domination. They even pretend they have a government and a democracy. And they pretend they have a right and a left, too. So, at the beginning of the 16th century, the book says here, the international Jews were successful in breaking the unity of Christianity and in opening the breach through which they stormed to attack the Christian citadel, with the disastrous consequences that we can all observe in the present. They therefore cunningly used the goodness of Christians and used the measures of forgiveness and the armistice which they had attained through cheating in every possible way. And let me comment on that. Everything they've done in our country has been done by cheating. You see, they bought up all our papers and our businesses and our radio stations and all these things by having it so that you could never look at where the money was going from the Federal Reserve. So if somebody had a big business that was worth, you know, $100 million or $10 million or whatever it's going to be, they just printed up the money and sent the Jew to attain. You see, that's cheating. They didn't get the business by working hard, making the money, and buying the business. They just stole the business. So that's what it's saying here. I just wanted to make that comment because that's what it says, that they've attained all these things through cheating in every possible way in order to alter the course of history in a favorable sense for the forces of Satan and his synagogue. The church can measure the greatness of the catastrophe if one bears in mind the millions and millions of souls who have been lost to Catholicism through the Protestant division. Now listen, I already told you that Catholicism is not Christianity. What they're trying to claim here is that the Catholic Christianity, the pagan Christianity, was the true Christianity all along, and that now it's been broken up and divided. But see, Martin Luther wasn't a Jew. It was divided so that the Father could get them out of Catholicism, because it was pagan Christianity. But when that division happened, the Jews were attuned and the devil were in tune with it, and they started new religions during that time, like Calvin, who was a Jew. So it was just one of these things that subdivisions came along. You see what I mean? This division was necessary to divide from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is not the true Christian church. It's what the world thinks of as the Christian church, the biggest church in the world. To the world, they think Catholicism is Christianity. So when they see it being destroyed, they think that Christianity is being destroyed. But this is all a big play and a ploy to make the people believe that Christianity is being destroyed when Catholicism is. Do you understand what I mean? That's why you see the Pope doing the things and saying the things that he's doing, is because he's trying to destroy the Catholic Church from within. He's a Jew. He's a Jew and he's a child toucher and he drinks blood. He's more than, he's a communist and everything else. A liar. And he believes that Lucifer is God. That can't be the true version of Christianity, folks. Simply, I mean, it's just that simple. So the division was necessary, but when the division took place, the Jews and the devil counteracted with subdivisions. And then, of course, our people, I'm sure it was demonic activity. You see what Comperay talks about in his time, which wasn't long ago, how, you know, if we have a simple disagreement among us white people, we just start a new church. We're easily divided. So, I'm just trying to, you know, keep this in line so you understand that the Catholic Church is not the true Christianity. It's not even close. So, the book goes on, it is necessary to establish this characteristic coincidence. In those periods of history in which the leading Christian personages, civil or ecclesiastical, have most tolerated and protected the Jews, the synagogue of Satan, has attained greater progress in its struggle against the Catholic Church in overwhelming victories. On the other hand, those other historical epochs in which the popes, the ecumenical councils, and the Catholic rulers had pursued an energetic and effective policy against Jewry were victorious for the church in its struggle against the Jews and against the false doctrines which these set up and broadcast. Now, I want to make one thing clear, is in this, they're calling the Jews Hebrews. The Jews are not Hebrews. Okay? So I just changed it to the Jews, just so you'll know. These victories were at times gained with the force of arms and allowed millions of Christian souls to be saved. It is not our intervention to criticize or to censure the leading religious and civil personages because they committed political faults. That's interesting, political faults, really. In good faith, by their granting protection to the enemy, which made possible eventually his triumph over Christianity. For what occurred in reality was that the Christians were subjected to the skillful deceits of the synagogue of Satan. By their being attracted by those fearful Jewish fables, quote unquote, hello, you know, I talk about this all the time, about which St. Paul talked. One must recall that Satan is the father of lies and the master in the art of deceiving men. This art was inherited by his spiritual children, the Jews, the modern Jews, it says, of whom Christ said that they are the children of the devil. It is not the suitable moment to criticize anyone, nor for useless lamenting about what others could have done and did not. But what is urgent is that we act with speed and energy before it's too late. It is urgent that we break off our sleep and awaken to the present reality. That's for sure. This is back in 62-ish, right? Now, let me make a little comment about this. Is what has taken place and what he had just said was something I've been talking about. Our people want to lose. They're doing everything they can to lose. And you may be angry when I say this, but this is how these Jews have gotten to the place they're at now, because of what he just said here. These people in good faith and thinking they're doing Yahweh's work and doing what's right have done all these things for these Jews, but they've actually done everything they could to lose and to destroy Christianity by helping the enemy. You see what I'm saying? And our people are the same today. Some of these people will fight you tooth and nail if you tell them that the Jews are the children of the devil and you shouldn't be supporting them. So this is how I come to the conclusion, and I would think that you must agree with me. Now, I'm not saying every one of our people is doing everything they can. But many, let's just say a good percentage of our people are doing everything they can to lose. To make sure that we are defeated. It's like they want to. They have a death wish. They want to lose and they want the Jew to win. Sounds strange, doesn't it? But it is apropos. Listen, I don't like saying it any more than you like hearing it. But until we stop helping these Jews defeat us, I have to say things like that. So let's continue. The book continues. And he says, in Russia, with the introduction of the socialist dictatorship, and that is what's known as a democracy, really. Thousands of archbishops, bishops, dignitaries, and priests were thrown into dirty prisons where they languished for years until their death. Many others were tortured and murdered in a cruel manner. Millions of Christians of all classes were subjected to indescribable tortures and thrown for years into dark and dirty prisons. Further, millions suffered a horrible annihilation, through the merciless Jews who do not forgive, but who destroy and enslave. And may I comment yet again? While the Jews are merciless and do not forgive anything because they waited 102 years to get the Tsar and his family and they destroy and enslave, they require you to be merciful and require you to forgive and tell you how you should forgive your brother, the Jew, right? So while they're merciless while they're the Antichrist, they're anti what we are, they're anti Adamic race, anti Anglo-Saxon, anti Scandinavian, anti Nordic peoples, anti Celtic. They don't forgive. And they destroy and enslave. Why, they tell you that you must keep giving things to them and not persecute them and not prosecute them and be merciful and forgive them. Don't you find that to be interesting? And these people are brothers and sisters who I was just speaking of that want to lose. They're trying to lose. They're helping these Jews win, doing everything they can to lose. How is it that they can't see this? How is it that what's happening to the Palestinian people today and to the people of South Africa, how is it that they don't know what's going on? Because of the delusion. If you do not love the truth, then obviously you will not be able to understand the truth. It's that simple. So, let's continue. These terrible dangers threaten the whole world in the same manner. Communism will be victorious over the entire planet if we do not act together to prevent it. For God does not help those who do not help themselves. Then, well, it's kind of true, but I don't know if that's exactly true. That's one of those scriptures that aren't scriptures. God helps those who help themselves, right? Godliness is next to cleanliness, right? These aren't even scriptures. But, you know, they're assumed and quoted like they are, right? So he kind of used it here. He says, God does not help those who do not help themselves. Well, I'm not sure that's exactly true. But, yes, you need to take some initiative. You've got to run the race. You've got to do works and so on and so forth. But I'm just saying. Then cardinals, archbishops, bishops, ministers, priests, and monks are thrown for years into dark prisons and interned, tortured, and finally murdered in terrible concentration camps. As, for example, in Russia, communist China, and all remaining lands where the all-destroying avalanche of Jewish communism has triumphed. That's what's happened there. Karl Marx, Engels, and Lenin, whose doctrines the communists follow, said it clearly in their works. The clergy of the different religions, but above all those of the Christian, must be exterminated. The bourgeois class must be destroyed and totally annihilated. By bourgeois class, it's to be understood the owners of private houses in the city and estates of the land, of factories, of public enterprises, of workshops and businesses. Now, the bourgeois, I would say, would be the upper middle class and the rich class, and even, you know, somebody that owns their own house to that level, so to speak, because there's no private property ownership with democracy. I mean, there is now, but they don't want it to be that way. So they're trying to progress towards taking the property away. They've even got it to this point where they can take some property away. The democratic government we have here now, this tyrannical government, if they say, well, we need your land for the government, they can just take your land without remuneration. In other words, it's... I don't know if they, you know, if they get away with not paying you or not, but they don't have to pay you the exact value, is from what I understand. Because they're taking property from people down by the border all the time. So you see, it's a progression. See, first we were in this country, we were sovereigns. We were the kings of our own land. That's why if the sheriff came on your land, you pulled out a gun and you held it out, and you were the lord, so to speak, right? That's a different thing, of your land. You weren't the bail of it. You were the lord of it. You were the owner of it. You were the sovereign, and this was your land exclusively. And anybody that came on that land, you know, trespass at your own risk, including the sheriff. So in the 50s, as I mentioned, on the hook-nosed Jew, 33-degree Mason Truman, they then put the property tax on. And I remember, see, once you got the property tax, that means if you don't pay your property tax, they put your house up for auction. So now they can steal your land. You're not the owner. You're no longer the sovereign of your land, right? Well, I remember seeing in the old cowboy movies, and see, this wasn't even instituted in those years, but they try to brainwash you, and they've showed people who were losing their farms because they didn't pay their taxes on their real estate. And see, this is a brainwash because they wanted you to think, well, it's always been that way. But it hasn't always been that way. You've got to realize how many things are planted in your mind and in these things as you watch. A brother and I were watching a Western from 1944, and the woman in the Western, well, she was practically a man. She was telling everybody what to do, punching men in the face, pulling guns on them. And, you know, there was the same old thing. All the men in the movie were evil white men. I mean, this stuff has been going. You don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, that through your whole life, whatever you've been watching has been pure programming to your mind. Historical programming. Everyday life programming. Hey, everybody's cheating. Everybody's doing it, right? One other aspect of putting women to work was to get women interested in other men to cheat on their husbands. Instead of being home taking care of the children and only knowing her husband and so on and so forth for the most part, they wanted to get her in a situation where she could be lured into causing the family to be destroyed, you see. So not only were they only taxing half the population, and really the women are the bigger half of the population, so they're not just the half. It's always been that there's more women than men. That's exactly what I've told you, why they wanted to get the women to vote. Because they knew they could sway these women. The devil knows how to operate women better than anybody, obviously. And his children do too. And they knew that if they could get them to vote, that they could change the dynamic of politics very quickly. Because the woman would see the pet Negro and say, oh, isn't he? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, we kept them slaves. Oh, well, let's make him a senator. You know, whatever it might be. You understand what I'm trying to say? And they wouldn't know the difference between Jews any more than the men knew the difference between Jews, although I think the men were a little more Jew savvy. But you see, this is what got us to where we are at this point. Even in 1944, they're shoving this garbage. We didn't even finish watching the film. It was just so laden down with this nonsense. The doctor was a drunk. He was useless because he was drunk. So how can a doctor do doctoring if he's drunk? The judge was in it in criminal cahoots with the local mafia in the saloon, etc., etc. They're just killing people wholesale at any point if they feel like killing somebody. Then they're lying right on camera. And it's all under the guise of these are all white men and they're evil. And it's showing you, dear white woman and white man, how evil you and your people really are. But see, this is not reality. Are there evil white women and white men? I'm sure there are, but this is the Jewish scribe writing these types of things. This is the Jewish scribe telling you that all white men are evil. You see? It's very interesting. And if you listen to what I'm telling you, if you're watching old Westerns and all kinds of things, they're always trying to shove down your throat that you're not letting women be equal with you, that you're against the Indians who did nothing, just like the Jews did nothing. I mean, they didn't come in and just kill women and children and scalp them and all kinds of things. No, it was just white people that did all this evil. You see, you'll see this over and over and over. once you understand what the Jewish mindset is, you'll realize that the Jews are writing all these scripts in Hollywood, on television, etc., etc., and they're using these things as a tool against you and trying to change your mind so that you'll even turn on your own race, which is exactly what's happened, hasn't it? In other words, if you see enough of us are evil people, you say to yourself, well, why should I be in league with my own race? They're a bunch of evil scoundrels, right? Just think about it, because your whole life this has been shoved down your throat. Remember, I did the movie there, Blazing Saddles, and I did the synopsis of the movie, and it's totally anti-white propaganda. Not only that, but it destroyed the genre of the cowboy genre. That was the end of the genre because they mocked it like that. And you could never see cowboys the same way ever again for some reason. It just worked. This is Jewry and this is what they do. So we're just about out of time. I had to comment on that. And we couldn't make it to the end of this chapter. So I'm going to mark it right there. But do you understand what I'm telling you is that these productions you're watching, you're sitting down now and you're letting your guard down. You worked hard all week. You just want a little entertainment. But you let your guard down and you're not sitting there saying, well, what are they trying to tell me in this production? Well, what is this programming trying to program in me? What are they trying to teach me here? You're just watching entertainment. You're looking at the bombs going off and the guns shooting and the horses running and the music that's distracting you from what they're teaching you. You'd be really surprised if you sat down and instead of letting your guard down once in a while, say, well, I'm going to watch this production and I'm going to see, what are they trying to teach me here? What are they trying to implant in my subliminal brain, part of my brain? Is this anti-white propaganda? And yes, it is. And yet whites will eat this stuff up left and right. It's entertainment. They're not thinking, you see? It's like they took the mind and they put a clutch so that the mind could understand, could see everything, but it couldn't understand what it was or perceive what it was being taught. Like a clutch in a car, when you push the clutch in, you're out of gear. You know what I'm trying to say? You know, at the end of all of these shows, I always give some good advice, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
Just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lives that they told erased. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man. A man.